VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Another very, very critical program that we need you to listen very carefully to our content today, because we're really talking about the future of our nation, and especially as it relates to religious liberty. On previous Crosstalk programs, we have issued a warning regarding H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. Our guest today has declared this to be the most dangerous bill to freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion that has ever been proposed on a national level. Folks, this legislation will fundamentally transform our nation in every way. That includes your local church. That includes our Christian colleges and universities. That includes Christian ministries all across the United States of America. Now, just last week, Wednesday, May the 1st, the House Judiciary Committee held a markup session advancing the legislation. And while this is going on, believe it or not, folks, we've got now our U.S. State Department taking the initiative to use their bully club to advance many of the ideals of H.R. 5 all throughout the world. Joining us today as we readdress this matter, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Matt has over 230 published legal opinions. He's authored 8 scholarly law review publications, 10 books, has filed numerous briefs, argued in many federal and state courts. He's had 2 landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He knows from whence he speaks. He's an advocate. He's a fighter for religious liberty across our land. Matt, thanks for joining us today here on Crosstalk.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Matt, it seems as many times as we talk about this that there are still many, many people who are just oblivious. They're unaware of what the Equality Act is. I've spoken to people. I said, we were talking about the Equality Act today. They said, what is that? So before we talk about how it's advancing, in brief, if you could just answer the very fundamental question, what is the Equality Act?
The Equality Act is the greatest threat to religious freedom coming out of Congress ever. It is moving quickly through the U.S. House. It'll pass the House. And then it moves over to the Senate. That's where I think we can stop it, but we have to really fight to do so. This particular law amends a number of federal laws. In short, it elevates sexual orientation and gender identity to the same level as race in all the different federal laws, employment, public accommodations, all kinds of other areas of law. It expands those federal laws, and then it adds sexual orientation and gender identity to those laws, meaning that the expansion will cover every aspect of our lives, and it will now include, if it's passed, gender identity and sexual orientation. So what you cannot do regarding race, you will not be able to do legally respecting LGBT, and that includes churches and religious organizations, colleges and universities, schools from K through college. All will be affected, Christian and private and public schools, city and states, all will be affected. And so what you cannot do legally respecting race, you will not be able to do legally respecting LGBT, and this includes churches and religious organizations. So churches cannot segregate bathrooms on the basis of race. That would be a violation of federal law. Race discrimination in the places of public accommodation. You could not tell a man under this law, if passed, that the man has to use the men's restroom, shower room, locker room, private changing facilities, if that man says or insists that he is a woman and is entitled to use the women's locker room and other facilities. To do so, to stop that man, would be discrimination on the basis of LGBT. In fact, there's recently a woman, she is a college athlete, she is top of her game, and she was beat out because 2 males entered into the female competition saying that they were women, and they placed number 1 and 2. She lost her dreams and hopes. This would be all over the country, and this would also be involving your high school sports that you have at your Christian school or your other sports. This would be a complete transformation. There's no exemption. There's no opt-out. There's no accommodation for churches or religious organizations.
Matt, last week, and I know we'll get more into it as we talk about it itself, but last week we saw this Equality Act have a markup session in the House Judiciary Committee. What is a markup session?
Well, a markup session is a session when you mark up the bill. You come in and you decide whether you're going to do an amendment with regards to the bill. And that's what that is. And if there's no amendments, or if you do a few amendments, those are prepared, and there was that is then moved on to the next level. So where we are is in the final committee, and here's what happened. One of the proposed amendments was to strike the religious freedom where it says you can't have a religious freedom as an exemption. That failed by a vote of 22 to 10. So in other words, there's still no religious freedom protection in the bill. Another one of the amendments was one change is to the findings, so it doesn't have anything to do with the substance. It actually changed, get this, Jim, LGBT to LGBTQ, and it deletes a phrase. So that was one of the small amendments. Nothing substantive. They actually broadened it. One of the other changes is very minor, and so the substance of this bill is still there. This bill elevates sexual orientation, gender identity, to the same level as race, and you just imagine what you cannot do legally respecting race. You cannot do legally respecting LGBT.
Matt, I'm going to play a couple clips. So, Jerry Nadler is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and over the past several weeks he has spoken on this issue. And I'm going to play just two clips on our program today and have you respond. The first clip, though, is one in which he addresses the matter of religious liberty. It's just a minute long. Let's listen to what Jerry Nadler had to say.
Religion is no excuse for discrimination, as we have long recognized when it comes to race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. And it should not be when it comes to sexual orientation or gender identity. Many of the arguments against the Equality Act are belied by the experience of the states and localities that have protections already. The scaremongering about potential bathroom predators has not turned out to be true. Protecting the ability for a transgender person to use a facility consistent with their gender identity has not weakened public safety or criminal laws or undermined their enforcement. Similarly, protections for sexual orientation and gender identity will not force religious hospitals or nonprofits to close. New York has these protections. We have Catholic, Jewish, and Protestant hospitals and adoption agencies. And everyone, regardless of who they are or whom they love, is able to receive medically appropriate care and to be served by publicly funded organizations.
Okay, Matt, true or false?
False. In fact, in Buffalo, there are Christian adoption foster care agencies that have had to close because of the gender identity, sexual orientation, local laws, or state laws in New York. So in New York, where he actually says they've had these laws and no one's been affected, no one's had to close, it's absolutely false. It's also false that people have not been harmed because of these bathroom and shower room situations. He simply, like many other things that he and some of the current leadership in the House have been doing, ignore the absolute facts. Women have been assaulted sexually. Little girls are afraid to go to the restroom. We have case after case of those. And in fact, we also have voyeurs going into these rooms. We have a client who is afraid to go into the restroom. She's been sexually assaulted because there is a man, and she used to be a member of Planet Fitness, and Planet Fitness has this policy that men can use the restroom, and there was a man in the women's changing room. She is no longer a member of Planet Fitness. So she actually got pushed out by Planet Fitness because she wouldn't agree to go into the women's changing room with a man that's clearly identifiable as a man in that changing room. And this is a woman who herself has been the victim of a sexual assault. So it's absolutely false. We know what they're wanting to do. Representative Gohmert from Texas, he proposed an amendment that would remove, let me set this up. The bill actually says you cannot use the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as a claim or a defense. You cannot raise the free exercise of religion as a claim or defense. That's in the law. Representative Gohmert proposed an amendment that would strip that provision out so that you could raise religious free exercise. That failed. What is it they want to target? They want to target anybody, particularly churches and religious organizations and people, and force you to promote the radical LGBT agenda that has been shown time after time and after time, that women have been targeted, women have been harmed, women athletes have lost their position, ability to compete. And in fact, this girl that I was telling you about, she was at a competition where it was showcasing the various athletes, the female athletes, and the winners would be able to get scholarships to their various schools for college scholarships. She got beat out, not by another woman who's of equal athletic ability, but by two boys who switched over to the girls' team saying that they were girls.
Yeah, and I'm going to play another clip from Jerry Nadler here on this whole transgender issue as far as sports is concerned. We'll have you respond to that as well.
Arguments about transgender athletes participating in sports in accordance with their gender identity having competitive advantages have not been borne out. Sports have positive impacts on physical, social, and emotional well-being, and we should not be denying transgender athletes those opportunities simply because sometimes they may win. Nor should their occasional success be used as a roadblock to advancing civil rights legislation for LGBT people as a whole.
Matt, just today, the Daily Signal has this story. When two high school athletes who were born male but identify as female took first and second place at Connecticut's Girls Indoor Track Championship this year, it wasn't just a local news story, and I believe this is the one you're referring to.
Exactly.
To some, it was a story of triumph and courage. The winner, a junior from Bloomfield High School, set a girls' state indoor record of 6.95 seconds in the 55-meter dash and went on to win the New England titles in both the 55-meter dash and the 300-meter dash. To others, it was a story of shock and disappointment. Is this the end of women's sports? To Selena Soul, a 16-year-old runner from Glastonbury, it was personal. She's a junior. She missed qualifying for the 55-meter in the New England Regionals by two spots. Two spots, she said, that were taken by biological boys. Had the boys who identify as girls not been allowed to compete, Selena would have had placed sixth, qualifying her to run the 55 in front of college coaches at the New England Regionals. Instead, she placed eighth, watching the 55-meter from the sidelines after qualifying in only the long jump, an event in which the transgender athletes did not compete.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's also a man who entered a female weightlifting contest, a powerlifting contest, and came in first place overall and broke, I think, four world records in the women's division. I mean, this is just absurd, Jim. It's absurd, and it's not fair to women. It's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to athletes and contestants. It's not fair to the privacy and personal security of any person.
Matt Stavers with us here today from Liberty Council. We're discussing H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act. We're going to discuss more on this right after the break here on Crosstalk. And in addition to that, we'll be discussing matters going on before the United States Department of State as well. Folks, it's shocking. It's amazing. You need to hear what's going on. We'll also provide you some contact information today. So please, please, please have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or pencil to jot down some numbers that we'll be providing you today as well. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution enter into the abortion debate?
It certainly does, Chris. In fact, evolution has long been used as the justification for abortion. Even today in abortion clinics, young pregnant girls are told about an evolutionary concept called embryonic recapitulation, in which the fetus, as it grows in the mother's womb, remembers its evolutionary ancestry. And at one point, it's just a fish. And it's okay to kill a fish, so you can abort in those months. What's the harm? In such a way, many are deceived into murdering their unborn children. But the fetus is a person. Humans were created in the image of God. The human fetus has just not finished growing yet, but it's human in every sense, both scientifically and biblically. So you see, Chris, even modern societal issues go back to Genesis for more understanding.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, a very, very critical program here today as we talk about religious liberty under attack. Attacks upon the church and Christian ministries all across this nation like we have never seen before. Matt, I'd like to just come back on this issue of religious liberty because I am looking now. I have a printout of a statement that was made May 1st, last week Wednesday, by the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, who said religious organizations and institutions will still have the ability under the Equality Act, as they do now, to decide who is a member of their faith. Priests, rabbis, imams will still be able to decide what religious service to provide and to whom, just as houses of worship retain the ability to determine which couples they will marry post-Obergefell under the Equality Act. Houses of worship and affiliated religious institutions will still be free to decline membership, admittance, or services to anyone they wish. Then, just a few sentences later, he says, religion is no excuse for discrimination in the public sphere. And as we have long recognized, when it comes to race, color, sex, and national origin, it should not be an excuse when it comes to sexual orientation or gender identity. So, Matt, the question is, which is it? Is there religious discrimination or is there not? I mean, he speaks out of both sides of his mouth.
Well, Nadler does that. Nadler is a liar. He says what he wants to say to get his objective done, and he completely distorts, ignores, and invents facts. He's an absolute liar when he says it's not going to affect churches and it's not going to affect your doing the marriages or use of your religious facilities. Because then he goes on to say, well, you can't use religion as a defense. He rejected, and others of the Democratic leadership rejected, the amendment that said that you could use religious free exercise as a defense. Here's what it'll do. As I mentioned, it does not exempt churches. They are included. That means that what happens if a church were to discriminate on the basis of race right now? If the church were to segregate bathrooms on the basis of race, the church would be sued. The church would be sued legally. The church would be subject to damages. If they did not pay, they would get continue fines. They also, as a result, because of violating federal law like that openly, by having segregated bathrooms, not allowing people of color to enter the white restroom, for example, they would lose their tax-exempt status. And if there are religious colleges that do the same thing, and they say, no, boys can't play on girls' teams. There's a boys' team for that. There's a girls' team. And also that you can't shower with the girls. If they were to say something like that, or have segregated, bathrooms that says this is men's and this is women's, and men must use women's and women must use women, they will be, just like if they violated the race restrictions, subject to lawsuits, fines, penalties, forfeiture if they don't pay those penalties, loss of tax-exempt status, and colleges would lose their accreditation. Look, this bill covers a wide variety. It is designed to change the landscape. Nadler knows that. He knows that. He's just simply lying when, on the one hand, he says, don't worry, there's never, you know, first of all, he says, well, don't worry, there's never been any problems in these areas. Mm-hmm. Wrong. You just read a story about how in women's athletes, there is. Others, we've got over 50... and we stopped documenting this about a year ago, but when we were doing it, over 50 incidents of women having been harmed in bathrooms because men have been using the bathrooms, changing rooms, and the stores and the places of business can't stop them because of the local laws. This would make it on a federal level.
Matt, I believe it's also important that we realize how all-encompassing this is because, again, at this markup session last Wednesday, we have Chairman Nadler saying this will amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but not just that. Matt, he also said it will amend the Fair Housing Act, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, the Jury Selection and Services Act, and, just this broad brush, and several laws regarding federal employment. He said it expands Civil Rights Act of 1964 to clarify clarify the definition of public accommodations to ensure that a broader range of establishments, including retail stores and services such as banking, are covered by the protections. Matt, the tentacles of this have a very, very far reach.
Yeah, it has a very far reach. It is exceptionally broad. You know, Nadler, when he started this hearing last week, he put his own bill in. It's just a standard procedure. What happens is they do that, but it's the same exact language, except they made a few minor modifications, changing LGBT to LGBTQ. But this literally, I can't underscore and emphasize this enough, it literally affects every area of our life. You name it, you will be affected by it. Churches, religious organizations, employers if you're the employer, employees if you have a job, stay-at-home individuals who are working online, your online store, your online commerce, goods and services, all will be regulated by this. Any public gathering, any place of entertainment, you name it, it will be covered. Schools from K through college, all covered. Every place that you go, all covered. Complete transformation. This is the LGBT agenda on steroids. This is why, Jim, the Human Rights Campaign, the largest homosexual lobbying organization in the country, headquartered in Washington, D.C., is spending millions of dollars in doing phone banking in a number of states to get this bill passed. This is their ultimate end goal. This is the golden ring, if you will, on the finger. That's what this is for them. It will be a complete transformation of the culture and a complete threat to religious freedom.
But keep in mind, Nancy Pelosi said, but it's only the beginning.
And and she's right. You know, this is only the beginning. I tell you what, you give them enough authority. And this, like, is a warning. It's a harbinger for the upcoming election. You want to give people that have no values, they don't value religious freedom, and they want to put this radical agenda on you, then just give them a little bit more power when it comes time to vote again. You see what they're doing now through this legislation. And as she said, this is just the beginning, friends. And I take her at her word on this one.
Absolutely. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Council. Now, I've got a couple more things that are just so important. But, Matt, I would like you to get in your website, because you've got a special site set up just on this issue, a direct link that will really fill people in and a lot of information here.
Yeah, let me give you, we have two different websites. Let me give you one that actually has a petition where you can go to and sign it. It's lcaction.org, lcaction.org. That's our sister ministry, Liberty Council Action, lcaction.org. And right there on the front page, you're going to see the topics that we're talking about today. And then if you want to go to the specific one, it's /HR5, lcaction.org, /HR5. Or just go to lcaction.org and you'll find that HR5 and the other subject that we're going to be talking about as well, what's happening in the U.S. State Department.
Okay, friends, and just before State Department, I want to point out one other thing. As Jerry Nadler made this statement last week, he talked about expanding this so that, you know, this is going to hit retail establishments as well, and that's why I'm just baffled beyond words, Matt, that we now have the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who has come on board with this so-called Equality Act, and they announced their support for this. And ladies and gentlemen, you can contact, and especially if you own a business, maybe you're a member of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, to contact the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and it's within your right to tell them to stop supporting the Equality Act and stop pressuring our elected officials to be supporting it. The Executive Vice President and Chief Policy Office of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is Neil Bradley. Neil Bradley, whose number is 202-463-5310. That's 202-463-5310. And his email is N Bradley. Bradley is B-R-A-D-L-E-Y. N for Neil. Neil, so it's N Bradley at uschamber.com. Uschamber.com. Also, Matt, because this is now passed out of committee, the vote was 22-10.
All right.
That means it goes now to the full House and then to the Senate, correct?
Yeah, it goes to the full House, and it's going to pass in the House. Unless there's a parting of the Red Sea kind of miracle, it's going to pass in the House. They've got overwhelming number of support because of the Democrats, and they also have some Republicans, unfortunately, that are joining with them. Not a lot, but some. They don't even need a single Republican to pass it in the House, by the way. But in the Senate, that's where the battle is going to really heat up. And from what my count is, there's about 47 co-sponsors in the Senate. They need 51 votes to pass it. That's the bad news. The good news is, before they get to that vote, they need to have 60 votes to stop the filibuster. And that's what we need to focus on, because I think we can stop them at that 60-vote threshold and prevent them from getting the 60 votes in the Senate. That's where we've got to stop it.
Okay, friends, here are two numbers. I'm going to give you the House number because it's important that your congressman knows that they are accountable to you. Regardless of how they vote, you need to let them know where you stand. Your House member can be found at 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. The greater battle will be in the Senate, as Matt mentioned, and that number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Now, Matt, if this battle wasn't enough by itself, now we have the State Department jumping on board to, in essence, when I saw what the State Department is wanting to do, they're really wanting to take several of the principles from H.R. 5 and pressure governments around the world to adopt them.
Yeah, here's what we have going on in the State Department. We have very good, as you know, we have an office in Washington, D.C., and we have our ear to the ground. We're involved in weekly meetings and all the different levels of the government, from the all the different levels. And the word is coming down from a more than one credible source that this month, the U.S. State Department, through Secretary of State Pompeo, will issue a directive worldwide to all of the embassies promoting LGBT. And that ultimately would result in the embassies flying the rainbow flag during the month of May and other things. You say, well, that's a shock. Isn't Pompeo pro-family, pro-life? What about the vice president and so forth and so on? What about the president? You know, last year on May the 17th, Secretary of State Pompeo issued a press release, and here's the title. It's on the U.S. Department of State Diplomacy in Action, and this is the press release. The title is, On the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia, and it goes on to talk about the United States stands for the protection of fundamental freedoms and universal human rights. It goes on to say at the very last sentence, human rights are universal, and the LGBTI, I standing for intersex, apparently, people are entitled to the same respect, freedoms, and protections as everyone else. Now, he did that as the Secretary of State, and he sent that out as a press release. That's Pompeo last year. Well, this May, mid-May, and we're coming up to that, he is scheduled to send out a directive to all of the embassies that will essentially put that in practice.
Outrageous.
And require our U.S. embassies and our also our allies, whether they're Muslim countries, whether they're African countries, it doesn't matter, all of our allies, to promote LGBT. You know, when we, it's just unthinkable that this would happen while this administration is in office. So here's what we're doing. In addition to gathering petitions, which we will send to the Senate, and we hope that you go to lcaction.org for that on H.R. 5, we're also gathering petitions to present to President Trump, Vice President Pence, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and time is very urgent here to stop this directive from going out this month.
Folks, another break is upon us. We're going to pick up with the State Department right after the break. I've got some phone numbers as well, directly to different offices in the State Department. Matt will give you that point of contact as well, where you can interact on this very matter. But friends, don't turn a deaf ear. This is a critical matter. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, last May, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, issued a press statement on the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia, which day is coming up later next week on the calendar, on the LGBTQIA plus calendar. And it appears that there is going to be such a release coming forth again. And Matt, when I looked at the statement that he came forth last year, he deals with many of the issues that are part of H.R. 5. I mean, he talks about housing.
Exactly.
He talks about employment. I mean, the very tenets of H.R. 5 are there in his State Department memo.
Yeah, it is. You know, and so much good has come out of this administration. But I'm telling you what, this, you know, we're going to call it out whenever the administration doesn't do the right thing. And this is one of those issues. If you look at his actual press release, just a little over a year ago this month, May 17, 2018, it has all of those same kernel foundational information that's in H.R. 5. And if you think, well, how could he be a part of this? Look at what he's already said. I'm not making it up. You can go to the website there, just do Pompeo homophobia, and it's going to take you right there because it was on the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia, and he called it a universal human right to be LGBTI. And that's Pompeo. Now, we also understand it may include some other people in the high-up administration. And we're going to be communicating with them. I don't know if President Trump is aware of this or where he is on this, but I do know it also appears that it has some other people high up in the administration. We do know, for example, that Vice President Mike Pence, and I know you say, well, Vice President Mike Pence is a wonderful Christian, but Vice President Mike Pence swore in Grinnell as the U.S. ambassador to Germany in a public ceremony. He is openly homosexual. He is someone nominated to that position by Trump against pushback by the religious conservative Judeo-Christian movement of people. But he nominated him anyway, and Vice President Pence swore him in a public ceremony, proud to do so. And he is one of the people, as the U.S. ambassador to Germany, who is a center point of activism to try to get this around the world. So he's working with the State Department, and so we've got to stop this because we can't be forcing our allies to promote the LGBT agenda at the risk of loss of federal funding. My goodness, that's what Obama did. That's what Hillary Clinton did as Secretary of State. She said, we're going to promote this, and they did around the world, and that if our allies don't promote LGBT, we're going to withdraw federal funding from them. We can't be repeating the mistakes of the Obama administration, and unfortunately, in this area, it seems like that's the path we're going down.
The ChristianNews.net ran a story April 28th. The headline, Openly Homosexual U.S. Ambassador, Vice President Mike Pence is on board with decriminalizing homosexuality worldwide. Don't have time to go further into it, but Matt, do you have a point of action regarding the State Department on your website?
We do. Also, lcaction.org. Lcaction.org is where we have our petition on that. And here's what we're doing. We're gathering petitions, and we're going to be delivering them very soon, by the end of this week or early next week, to the Secretary of State, to Vice President Pence, and to President Trump to not do this LGBT agenda worldwide. There's some real concerns here, and I tell you what, there's been a lot of things come out of this administration that's very good on religious
mm-hmm.
liberty.
Yes.
But this right here is a direct collision against religious freedom. It is against everything that has happened religious freedom-wise in this administration, and we need to call it out. The only way we can do that is if you help us sign your name to a petition. We will personally be delivering those through our offices in Washington, D.C. late this week and early next week.
Friends, I'm going to provide you some telephone numbers here at this point. First of all, because of the significance, we're going to give you out the White House switchboard and the White House comment line. The White House switchboard number, 202-456-1414. 202-456-1414. The White House comment line, 202-456-1111. Now, I want to also provide you some phone numbers to the State Department. Now, if you're trying to reach the Secretary's office, Mike Pompeo, they just give out the general number for the U.S. State Department, and lots of luck in trying to get through there. But let me give you the Executive Secretariat. Executive Secretary, who would be the Secretary for the Executive. This would be Lisa Kenna. Lisa Kenna's number is 202-647-8448. That's 202-647-8448. And the Deputy Executive Secretary is Eva Weigold Schultz, whose number is 202. All of these start with 202 and then 647. Last four digits are 5302. 5302. Then we have the Deputy Secretary of State, John Sullivan. He falls right underneath the Secretary of State. This would be the Deputy Secretary of State. Again, his name, John Sullivan. Same prefix, 202-647. The last four digits are 8636. 8636. And the special assistant for the Deputy Secretary is Catherine Nanavati, whose number is, the last four digits are 5290, 5290. And Matt, if you were making a call to the State Department right now, what would you be saying?
Well, I would say do not push this LGBT agenda worldwide on our embassies and on our allies. Do not push that. That will undermine Judeo-Christian family values. It will also undermine religious freedom. It's a direct assault on religious freedom. We know how it works. We've seen it. And we want to now impose that worldwide on other countries? I don't think so.
Friends, Matt's site, lcaction.org. We're opening our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. Your reaction to this, folks, the battle is on many fronts. You've got H.R. 5. You've got the statements that are made by Jerry Nadler. You've got the committee advancing this, 22-10, going to the full House of Representatives. We've got the Senate that looks like this will be going their direction with approval from the House. We've got the U.S. Department of State that has not only shown us last year what they're willing to do, but the rumblings are what they are planning on this year as well. Our number to Crosstalk is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Your reaction to this? Maybe you've got a question about the very matters we're talking about today. Pick up your phone. Give us a call here today to Crosstalk. And Matt, this is really, really a time of action.
It really is a time of action on both fronts. I mean, both of them are coming down at the same time. Certainly the one that's going to have a transformative effect is H.R. 5. That's that federal bill that would literally elevate sexual orientation, gender identity to the same level as race and expand its implications and reach. We've got to stop that. We've got a petition for that at Liberty Council's actions website, lcaction.org. And the other one is even as broad, but it's worldwide, and that's this whole LGBT agenda being forced on our embassies. Look, I'm going to Israel at the end of the month. I don't want to see a rainbow flag flying over Israel, but that's what this directive would do. It would impose this on all of our embassies, and it would require our ambassadors to really start pushing this with all of our allies worldwide.
Matt Savers, our guest here today on Crosstalk, Pensacola, Florida. Don, you're on the air.
Yes, I agree with everything you're saying today. How you doing today, Don?
Just go right to your point, Don. We're short on time.
Jim. Yeah, okay. I just want to say that Scripture says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear or a phobia, but of love, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, but we, born-again Christians, have the mind of Christ. Now, we don't always use the mind of Christ, but we possess it. Whoever's pushing this encroachment and this crazy H.R. 5 bill, I want them to see that from God says it's an unsound mind. It's an unsound mind, it's an unhealthy mind, and bad news.
Thank you, Don. It's totally in violation of what God's Word has said on this very issue. And certainly, thank you for the call here today. And by the way, folks, in the Senate side, it's S-788, Matt, I believe. And I believe they take up their own bill, then it goes to conference or something?
They take up their own bill, it goes to conference, and then it'll be moving through the U.S. Senate. But, of course, we, I think, can stop it because they can, the Republicans, others, can filibuster that, and it's going to require a 60-vote margin before they actually vote on the underlying bill. That's where the battle is going to be. I don't want to have to count between do they have 47 votes or do they have 51 votes. That's just too close on the underlying bill.
Let's go to Mitchell, South Dakota. Phil, you're on the air.
Yes. I'm reminded when I was coming home from a prayer meeting for the National Day of Prayer, I was listening to the news, and Pastor Brunson, the pastor that was in prison in Turkey for a while, was at a National Day of Prayer.
I tell you what, Phil, we're short on time. Please go right to your point about this bill, H.R. 5.
Actually, hold on. He said that persecution is going to come to the United States sooner than we expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we have to stand up, because otherwise it will. This will open up the door if this is passed. H.R. 5 would.
Thank you. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comments is, it's one thing for Jared Nadler and his push against William Barr, but I think he's asking for his own political suicide if he thinks even the fence sitters are going to agree with them when it comes to the powerlifting gender competition.
Right.
In particular, I think that's a flat outright no-brainer. And where is the women's lib protest in this whole scenario?
Interestingly, they are actually, some of them are speaking up. These are people who are not ideologically on our same page. But they say, look, this undermines women's rights. If a man can be a woman by virtue of just wanting to be a woman, it undermines women's rights. It infringes on women's rights. It infringes on their privacy and their security and safety.
Thank you, Mark. Blanche in Bainbridge, Ohio, you're on the air.
Yes, I wrote to my senator, Rob Portman,
mm-hmm.
and he just answered me, and he says, as you may know, S-788, the Equality Act, was referred to the Senate Committee on mm-hmm. the Judiciary, of which I'm not a member. Should this legislation come to the floor of the United States Senate, I will keep your views in mind. Now, he says he doesn't believe in discrimination at all, but he says, I also consider religious liberty to be a constitutional right of paramount importance. No religious organization should be asked to compromise its belief, whether on the house or marriage, adoption, hiring, education, and similar marriage. You may know I have advocated...
Let
me tell you about Rob Portman. Rob Portman ran originally on the basis that he was against same-sex marriage. Then he changed his view after he got involved as a U.S. senator because his son came out as being homosexual. So I think he's going to support the bill, but on the other hand, he's going to have a hard time supporting it, and that's key, because he understands it's going to impact religious freedom, and that's where I think we can get some of these senators on that particular area.
And friends in Ohio, this is your senator, and your views need to be made known to him as to where you stand on the issue. Thank you, Blanche. You're up against a break. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today, Matt Staver. For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, we just finished up our national conference at Lake of the Ozarks, and the theme was Holocaust Horizon. This is a serious topic and one that we as Christians must address. Why?
because there's a watching world looking to see if we're willing to put our actions where our faith claims to be. One story would be that of Albert Einstein. Everyone knows who Albert Einstein is. He was a Jewish man, and he left Germany. But before he left Germany, he noticed that the editorial papers had gone silent on what was happening to the Jews. The professors at the universities had gone silent. Those he thought would speak up about liberty and freedom had gone silent. And then he said a group of people which he had very little respect for stood up and stood squarely in the path of Adolf Hitler. It was a small group of Christians. And he declared that group which he had very little respect for, he now praises unreservedly. There are unbelievers watching how we respond to the anti-Semitism that is growing. May we do as we're called and defend the people of God.
LCAction.org is a website, LCAction.org, Matt Staver from Liberty Council, and folks, you can download a lot of information there. You'll find out about how to hold Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, accountable. You'll find out about H.R. 5. Let's go to Tom calling from Tomo, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
How is, you know, President Trump forces this rainbow flag thing on the embassies, he's not going to be able to support other, you know, his thing against transgenders and all that, which I totally agree with, and now he's going to all of a sudden blow all of his, that he's done with that. Take answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, no question. Well, and that's why we need to get to him, to Vice President Pence, and certainly to Secretary of State Pompeo to stop this, because it goes against everything that he's done and stood for. And certainly, this literally is a collision course with religious freedom. On the HR 5 side of things, like the last caller, I think even some people like Portman, who may be pro-LGBT, certainly he is, we can also get him to vote against this because of its impact on religious freedom. So I think we have a shot to stop HR 5 in the Senate, and I think I'm praying that we can get this turned around in the State Department to stop this worldwide LGBT push.
Keep in mind the comment line to the White House, 202-456-1111, and the White House switchboard, 202-456-1414. West Dallas, Doug, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I'm just distressed at all of this, and I sometimes wonder whether or not President Trump is really not part of the whole Destroy America movement because of the wonderful people apparently trying to destroy the country in order to promote their system.
Well, I don't think he's trying to destroy. I don't think President Trump is trying to destroy America. I think in every area, you know, in the last 2 years, he has been the most pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-religious liberty president in history, pro-jobs, et cetera, pro-national defense, pro-law enforcement. There's no comparison. But that doesn't mean that everything is 100% fine. So, you know, just because you got 98, 99% good, or whatever the percentage is, doesn't mean that you can let someone get away with 1 or 2% that has significant implications, and this is one of those. And so we've got to speak up. Despite all the good, we have to continue that track record because we can't force our allies and our embassies to promote the LGBT agenda, and that's what this directive from the State Department would do, and that's why we need to stop it. And the only way you can stop it is to raise our voice collectively and let them know that we're not going to support this.
Robert in Salina, Kansas, you're on the air.
Yes. God bless you guys for what you do, but the point that I want to make is, in addition to its effect on religious freedom, which is, would be horrendous, the effect on women would be as horrendous. I heard you talking about the track meet and the girls that lost out. It's to me, the two spearheading themes would be the effect on women and the effect on religious freedom. And certainly, I would think that some of the females in the Senate and the House would stand up and take a stand for the women's rights.
We're going to have him comment on that. Thank you, Jerry.
No, I think you're right. Those are two main talking points. Perfectly well said.
Thank you. And Jerry is next. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was wondering, with this embassy bill that they have, are they trying to get some sort of rights for gay people? Because I know some countries, they persecute them, they throw them off buildings. I mean, they're really persecuted all around the world. And my next comment is, I know that, you know, in the end times, it's going to turn like the days of Lot. And in Revelation, I think 21, there'll come a time when, you know, you're just going to have to, it says you're going to have to let them be.
Yeah, well, that is part of it, but it's a broader agenda. I mean, this
employment,
and we're not in favor of some of these countries where they do what you're just talking about. Throwing people off buildings. I mean, that's just awful. It's reprehensible. But this is a directive that you would see rainbow flags flying on our embassies. You would see our ambassadors emboldened to push same-sex marriage in the different states, in different nation states, to push the LGBT agenda, to do in those countries what the Congress is trying to do here with H.R. 5, to actually put this radical, far-reaching LGBT agenda into every area of our life.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, and indeed, Matt, it goes beyond just speaking against violence, which certainly we don't stand for, but it engages in areas of housing and employment,
right,
and the other aspects that we see in H.R. 5.
Public accommodations, restrooms, facilities, women's athletics, etc. Women's privacy.
Let's pick up one last call. This is Rick calling in. Rick, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. I just wanted to quote a scripture from Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 25. It says, "Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live." And verse 39 says, "As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye and serve everyone his idols and hereafter, and I will not hear, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts." I think a lot of this responsibility should be going to the religious leaders of organized religion. They're not speaking out enough.
Yeah.
And I see those leaders in these very scriptures right here.
Matt?
Well, you're right. And that's why on this HR 5, churches and pastors have to speak up, because churches and pastors will be affected by this bill. So there's two things that you need to respond to that we're asking you. Go to lcaction.org, lcaction.org, the letter C, the letter L, the letter C, action.org. And there's the petition and information about H.R. 5, this federal proposed law that will transform the country, and also about Pompeo. And we're wanting to get the petitions to him and to others in the executive branch right away to stop this directive this month, and also in the other area to stop H.R. 5 in the U.S. Senate.
Rick, thank you for your call. And there are certain organizations that are speaking up. Matt, I was just sent a letter from the American Association of Christian Schools to Jerry Nadler as well, in which they take a very strong approach against the passage of the Equality Act, so-called, and H.R. 5. But we need individual churches and ministries across this nation to stand up.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And now is the time to act. We cannot be silent. So make sure that your pastors, your churches, your communities, your friends know about H.R. 5 and about this State Department directive.
LCAction.org, folks, is the website. You can get tons of information about this very issue today. That's LCAction.org. Matt, thank you so much for the information and being on the front lines on this very issue.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
And, folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.